This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 25th, 2025. Armor of God, belt of truth, and breastplate of righteousness.
Well, good morning, Connection.
Good morning.
It's great to be here today. So I was not prepared for that song, Great Adventure, to be played. Barry is surprising us with some of our oldies but goodies from like 20 plus years ago. And that song, Great Adventure, actually goes farther than just being at this church. So back in the 90s, it was Amy Grant, Michael W. Smith, and Stephen Curtis Chapman, and some others that everybody some of you might remember them.
How many remember those guys?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Great, great music. So Stephen Curtis was just one of my faves. And so I went into ministry back in 92, and everything was fine. Alan worked in insurance. Our life didn't change a whole lot. Kids stayed with me in church. Yeah, I went to seminary, but it was all fine. Until 3 years later, when God called Alan into ministry, and that's when everything went upside down. And some of you have heard that story, and I won't get into it, but it was life-altering, life-shaking, for me, not in a great way. And I just wanted him to wait till I was done. But anyway, that's not how God had it. But we were going to have to move. Our income was here, and it went to here, and everything. Stephen Curtis Chapman had that song out. And so we would turn it up. And it's like we didn't know what was happening, like with our lives. And this before we ever knew we were going to move. And we would just dance in the living room. All the kids that's our family theme song. Life, you know, it's a great adventure. And so it has been. It has been an absolute great adventure. And that song means a lot. The other song we started the church with was what we opened with, You Are Holy, Prince of Peace. I mean, that thing is like 30 years old, but it still feels fun to sing it, and it really produces great memories and some foundation for us as a church. So, great adventure. It's been great, hasn't it, Alan?
You know, we saw Stephen Curtis in concert.
Oh, gosh.
And he was signing autographs afterwards. So Turner, our youngest, our son, got in line. And they said he was only going to be there for this long, and Turner was back further about. But he stayed dead, and he got his order, and he tells Stephen, hey, that's our family theme song.
Well, we went up as a family, and here Stephen Curtis stands up, and I started crying. I'm like, you made our family theme song. And, you know, he's hugging and everything. So it's a great memory.
So good morning, Connection Church. Isn't this just a great day to be part of God's creation? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want to say thank you to the youth of CCC for a great service 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Put your hand.
Yeah. Amazing.
And to Bonnie and Kyle for making that happen. You know, this church is in good hands. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then to Stephanie Griffin. Oh, my goodness. The message she shared last week. Incredible. Absolutely amazing. Weaving of data, the news of the day-to-day of the tragic kind of things that happen, weaving that with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What a great message, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah, it was so good. We were able to be here for youth, but we watched from our little place in Punta Cana last week, so that was fun.
Sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
You got to do what you got to do. So my name's Carrie Jones. My name's Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And?
Why not?
Why not? I hope you are, because I'm going home with you.
Sounds good.
Okay. We're two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day, a day where we can come together as a family of God. Some of us have been here for maybe just today or a few weeks, and some have been here from the beginning. But we just want to celebrate you. We want to thank you. And I would pray that this message from Ephesians would be, I would say, a comfort but also provide a firm foundation for our lives. So we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We pray this in your holy name, and everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. Today, we want to talk about battle. Battle. Sometimes, doesn't it seem like life is just one battle after another? It's tough. Now, some are little. It's like getting on the phone trying to straighten out a cell phone bill or something like that, and that can be super frustrating. But then there's other battles, you know. I battled for my whole life, you know, up and down on the scale with weight. Or there's battles that become more serious between parent and child. Or there could be battle with a loved one or battle in your marriage. It could be a battle to get really good rest and be able to just breathe a little bit. It could be a health diagnosis that is absolutely life-altering. There's always something, and if we're not in one currently, we know that one could be around the corner. So we want to talk about that today. And we do want to say that of all the battles that we face, our greatest battle was addressed by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. It's a letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Greece. Ephesians is found in the second part of the Bible, like toward the end, like here. And it's how Paul brings this letter that he wrote to the church that he loved to a close. Chapter 6, Ephesians, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
So, bottom line, we're in the fight of our lives. Constantly, an epic cosmic battle against a powerful, very powerful enemy. It's not your typical flesh and blood battle. It's not a battle where we can see the physical wounds, patch them up, wait for them to heal, move on. No, it's not that kind of battle at all. It's a more unseen battle, a spiritual battle against an invisible enemy, against the forces of evil in the heavenly realm, as the scripture just said. It's a battle against Satan and his legions of fallen angels. A no-holds-barred, fight-to-the-finish, winner-take-all death match. And make no mistake about it, the opposition is playing for keeps. And what he's playing for is your soul. Jesus told us about this opponent when he said this in John 10a. The thief comes only to what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
The thief is Satan, and he comes to only, this is his mission, steal your dreams, kill your joy, destroy your life. He is opposed, his reason for being, his only, is to be against God, to oppose God, and since we are God's, to draw us away from God. And he will do everything he possibly can to carry out his purpose, his mission, his reason for being. And you, we are his target. He constantly has us in his sights, ready and waiting to pull the trigger.
So if you're feeling a little squirmy where you are, that I agree, yes. But there's good news ahead. We'd like to share the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases the scripture that I just shared. I shared the New International Version. I want to share the Message paraphrase of the same scripture. He writes, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. There is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels.
And know this for a fact, we are no match for Satan. If, there's that if clause, if we try to enter this battle on our own. By ourselves, we will be overwhelmed. On our own, we're no match. But here's the thing, we aren't on our own. We aren't by ourselves. We do not have to fight this battle alone. We have a choice. We can choose to have God fighting for us. We can choose to have God's full protection to help us stand our ground. And when we make that choice, nothing, absolutely nothing, Satan included, can beat us. Ephesians 6:13, check it out. Therefore, put on the what? The full armor of God. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand.
So this scripture is interesting because Paul points out to put on the full armor of God so that when, it's not if, when the day of evil comes. If you've lived at all, you know, into adult life, you know that it's going to happen. And we're faced with lots of challenges. And for some of you, maybe you're in the midst of it right now. But know that when you're in Christ, when you give him your life, he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you anyway. We don't even see how God intervenes and fights for us. And Paul says, put on the full armor. It's not like little pieces of it, you know, half of it. Put on the full armor. Let's talk about armor for a minute. When I first think of armor, I think of that medieval kind of armor. Here's a picture of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like there's not a single thing showing here. But what Paul's talking about is this kind of armor. You see, there's you know, the helmet and the breastplate. There's a belt. There's a shield. There's a sword. There's shoes. And he's talking about a special kind of armor, and it's God's armor. God's armor.
Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So the Apostle Paul takes each piece of armor and associates it with what God gives us to combat Satan. And he begins with the belt. So let's think about belts for a minute. You know, belts can be kind of ornamental, decorative, and they can also be very utilitarian, and sometimes they can be both. I wear a belt just about every day of my life. Now, the one I have on probably doesn't go with these shoes, but you don't see it, so I don't worry about that. But usually I try to coordinate, you know, and with what I'm wearing. But my main purpose for wearing a belt is not styling. That's not my, I don't pull the belt to go, what a belt. I wear it because it has a function. It keeps my pants up, pure and simple. But it also has another function. You see this on here? This is what allowed me to talk to you without a wire. And I have to have something to hook it on. Like when Carrie's been up here and wearing a dress, it's awkward because there's nothing to hang it on.
That's why I wear slacks, because microphones are not made for women preachers.
Hello. Yeah. Well, that's another subject.
That's another subject.
Might not get to that before July. But anyway, no. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of doing a police ride along. Anybody ever done one of those? Man, that was incredible. In fact, the officer I was with is the daughter of a guy here at church, Andrew Ward. His daughter was the ride along. And you ever look closely at a police person's belt? Oh my goodness. It's like every square inch. I don't know what that thing weighed. Very utilitarian. very utility. They have a lot of stuff hanging. And the belt isn't just useful, though. I would say that belt is essential. Because the stuff on there, every part of it, had a purpose. And so it's and it's central. It's right there. You can get to everything. It's in the middle of everything. It holds everything together.
So the belt in the Roman soldier's outfit was a utility belt, like what Alan shared and what he saw with the police officer. It had a purpose. It had a reason. It held everything together. In fact, that belt also had the breastplate attached. It was not individual. So the breastplate, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, was connected. But we're going to talk about the belt. The belt is not just a belt, it's the belt of truth. Say truth.
Truth.
Yeah, truth. Everything revolves around truth. Everything around our center should be about truth. And that's some of the conflict that we have with this world, because the truth as we know it, as Christ talks about, as in the Word of God, isn't necessarily the truth that we experience in our culture. We know truth as solid, unchanging, same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. But there seems to be now a relative truth. Like, truth can vary depending on your perspective, the context, the individual. You know, relative truth is like a moving target with a "it depends" clause. When you ask for truth, it's like, well, it depends. Well, God's truth, on the other hand, is not like that at all. God's truth is absolute. Absolute. And that's what we're talking about today when we talk about the armor of God and the belt of truth. It is solid. It is never changing. God's truth was, is, and will be.
In the 14th chapter of the book of John, that's the fourth book in the New Testament, second part of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus shared with his disciples an important truth that many of you are familiar with. He told them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. He didn't tell them that he knew the truth. He didn't tell them that he could tell them the truth. He told them he was the truth. When we look at Jesus, we see truth. When we listen to Jesus, we hear truth. It's like a mathematical equation in school. Jesus equals truth. Truth equals Jesus. We need to wrap that around us like a belt.
So in the book of John, chapter 8, we find that Jesus was spending some time. He was speaking to the Jews who were gathered. And to the Jews, he said this: "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, the faithful Jews, they were descendants of Abraham. They claimed to be descendants of Abraham, but some were having trouble wrapping their minds around giving Jesus their allegiance. And Jesus challenged their understanding of spiritual truth and their relationship with God.
I was just thinking, the truth will set you free. I remember when I was a kid, and I had something that I'd done or something, and I remember sitting there, and I had to tell my father the truth. I mean, and then you're free. Then you don't have that hanging. But until that happens, am I making sense here? And until you kind of let it go, you're under the power of that untruth. You're under the power of sin, and the truth then will set you free. Later on in John 8, 42 to 44, check this out. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love him. For I have, you would love me rather, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? These guys were focused on Abraham. They were focused on that old Testament Jewish laws. And they were so focused on, they were having trouble catching this Jesus thing. Because you're unable to hear what I say, he says to them. Now he gets really serious. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. Phew. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he, the devil, Satan, lies, I love this line, he speaks his native language. That's the bottom line for that. That's his native language, for he is a liar. Not only that, he is the father of lies. Whoa! Ooh. So Jesus here is making a stark claim that those rejecting him, despite their religious background, despite them beholden to Abraham and all that, the law, they're not acting like God's children, but like the devil's own. Ooh.
Ooh. That's tough. That would be tough to hear that. What about us, though? Have you ever had a tape in your head that says, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're all messed up, you're this, you're that, and our question to you is, who told you that?
Who told you that?
It's not God. God would never say anything to tear you down. Now, God does want to convict us to walk in his will and his way, but it's not in a condemning way. I did not come to condemn the world, that's us, but to save the world through him. So in this cosmic battle, Satan, the father of lies, is completely contrary to Jesus, who is truth. So we need to wear this belt around our waist, this belt of truth at all times. It's at the center of our being. It holds everything together. Everything hangs, our lives. Everything hangs on that, the belt of truth. How do we know about it? It's right here. We've got to know what truth is, and it's in here, cover to cover. We have small groups. We have small group opportunities that are short term. There's all kinds of ways that we cannot do this alone. God does not want lone rangers. God was not alone, Father, Son, Spirit. So he doesn't want us to walk this out alone either. So we learn about truth individually, in our personal devotion, and as a community. We also go to God in prayer. Listen, speak our heart. We arm ourselves with the truth through reading his word, through being together in community, through prayer. Buckle that belt around your waist, the belt of truth.
Do you ever have that happen when you're in a quiet moment? And you might not even be realizing that you're in prayer, but you're open. And the Holy Spirit just convicts you of something, you know, of some truth, of something. And maybe you got to go apologize to somebody, or you've got to go make something right. That happens, but you got to be open. You got to be in prayerful mode. You got to be listening, right? Because if it's busy world, it ain't going to happen. You got to let it get quiet in your head, in your soul. Back to Ephesians 6:14 again. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Breastplate of righteousness. You know, the breastplate covered the chest and torso. And as such, the main thing it protected was the heart. And the heart needs protection, because if the heart gets pierced, you get dead, right? Yeah. And so the breastplate helps keep us alive. But in Paul's description, he's speaking a little more metaphorically of the heart. And this is why. If you look in your Bible, the New International Version, that word heart appears over 700 times. Actually, I think it's 725. That's a lot of heart. I mean, you look up the word love, it's not over 700 times. You look up faith, you look up hope, none of them. I think love's maybe 600 something, but heart is more than any of them. And in the vast majority, in fact, virtually, nearly all the case, I didn't check it out, but as I looked through, that they're not talking about that blood pumping muscle in your chest. Although that's what the heart does. I mean, it delivers blood. But in this case, it's referring to the heart as the emotional center of the person. It's referring to your inmost being. It's referring to your soul. It's referring to deep, deep resources of who you are, to the core of your spirit, to the very center of yourself. While the breastplate of a warrior protects his blood-pumping muscle, that doesn't sound very romantic, does it? It's very utilitarian, that blood-pumping muscle. The breastplate of righteousness protects the innermost self from the constant and relentless onslaught of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that's where we need protecting. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's right living, right relationship with God. Righteousness is living a life of integrity and holiness, virtue, living in obedience to God's will and God's way. It's not easy, but it gets easier the longer we walk, or the more intentional we are as we walk along. And so let's say this is righteousness, and that's God, and we're here. And as we get to know God and his scripture, God's here, and we just start edging over, edging over, edging over, until we walk it out in holy living the best we can. That's not perfect. We don't mean perfect, but I just mean imitating Jesus. When people see us, there's like something different. So we can do that as having a relationship with Christ. It's allowing God to get a bigger piece of our heart, acquire more of us. Less of me, more of you, God. Less of you, more of God.
And that's why we need that breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness, to protect these precious hearts for God and God alone. We need to make sure that that breastplate is in place every single day. We need to make sure it's in place to protect our hearts. We need to wake up and mentally, spiritually, put on that armor of protection, beginning with that belt of truth and proceeding to put in place the breastplate of righteousness. And throughout the day, check to make sure they haven't slid out of position. You with me? That belt of truth and that heart protector in place, knowing that our hearts, minds, and spirits are centered on God, on the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's too important to just let it happen by chance. We need to be deliberate, and we need to be prayerful. Not just first thing in the morning and last thing at night, but let that prayer weave throughout your day.
So this is the beginning of our series on armor of God. Each week we're going to be looking at another piece of your spiritual armor. We want you to be battle ready. We're going to pour everything that we can into you for the next month, because we want you to be able to stand firm. Stand firm.
This is our last chance. We got to
not
make this
on sinking sand, but on a firm foundation, as we sang at the beginning of this service. And so the first thing, the way we do this, is to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, right living, to guard our hearts. We are excited to talk to you next week about the next piece of armor so that you can be armed and ready. Satan can't get us because we're covered in Christ. And by the way, next week we'll be sharing the sacrament of Holy Communion. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the good news. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much. You don't leave us like to fend for ourselves. You cover us with your armor. Help us every morning and multiple times through the day and at night. Just keep that armor in place. And to live out this glorious unending that you have for us. Walking it out in your love and in your grace as we live out that sanctification, that holy living in you. Thank you for that truth that you pour into us, your voice. Help us get rid of all the other voices that just want to tear us down and stay focused on your voice of truth. We thank you and praise you in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.